We had, this past Wednesday night, in our junior high class, 40 members of this congregation that were in attendance, 40 junior high young people. They brought with them 45 visitors Wednesday night. We had 85 junior high young people in class this Wednesday night. I want to tell you something. That is dynamite. That is dynamite. Our young people are just dynamite. And I'll tell you something else. I don't want them to have all the fun. We need to get in on some of that. Amen? You know, there isn't anything in this world that is stronger than the peer pressure that a young person has got to go through during our day and time. It's just incredible the kind of peer pressure they face. And if they are willing to risk that kind of peer pressure to bring visitors to church, we need to go and do likewise. I tell you, I'm proud of them. I really am. Those who work with them and obviously have done a great job, and I'm excited about what they're doing on Wednesday nights. Dynamite Night is absolutely dynamite because the young people that are involved. And I hope you're going to encourage them. This week we'll probably have, 55 visitors this week. I don't know, but I am excited about what they're doing. We have tonight 46 OCC students that are going to be graduating next week. 46. Bruce is going to honor them in a very special way tonight after services, but I would like for you to see who they are. Would those of you who are going to be graduating, the 46 students, would you all stand for just a minute? One, two, there they are. There they are. Boy, we are going to miss you something terrible. We are going to miss you. Those of you who are leaving, those of you who are staying, we're glad you're staying. We really are. Special group of kids, and I know that tonight is going to be a special night for them. Bruce is going to honor them in a very special way, and I know that you'll want to congratulate them, those of you who are around them. If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. The fifth chapter of Ephesians. I don't know about you, but after this morning, this seems a little bit anticlimactic, but it's not. This is important stuff that we're going to look at tonight, and I feel great. I feel good and healthy and all that, and I'm gonna do my best shot. I hope that you don't view this as being anticlimactic to this morning. What happened this morning was fantastic, and it's going to continue to be fantastic. But tonight, the things we're going to look at are also extremely important. Let's read together. First, verse 21, then verses 25 and following. Ephesians chapter 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We began looking a few weeks ago at God's divine standard for marriage. We began by going back to the beginning, God's blueprint of what marriage ought to be, by looking at the pages of the book of Genesis. And we saw that in the beginning that God designed that one, there would be one who was responsible for headship, that was Adam. And out of Adam was created Eve, and she was one who was to complement and complete his life. She was one of submission. He had the responsibility for headship and leading. She had the responsibility for fellowship and completing and complementing his life. And yet, the headship and submission seems to have been lost in such a tremendous relationship with one another. Then chapter 3 came in the fall. And in the fall, we see the immediate reversing of the roles as God had originally designed them. We see the woman leading out and taking of the fruit that she was forbidden to eat of, and then giving to her husband who followed her lead, and there you have the fall. And from that time forward, there has been a struggle over how the marriage ought to work. God curses the man and the woman in chapter 3 because of their sin. And in the curse, he says to the women, you are going to have unbelievable pain in childbearing. And secondly, you're going to seek to dominate your husband, and he will rule over you. No longer a loving leadership, but now a dominant kind of rulership over the wife. That brings us to Ephesians 5. Because Ephesians 5 makes sense only when you begin to look at what took place back in Genesis. And in Ephesians 5, we found that Paul had spent three chapters in the earlier part of Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, of saying that what a man's position is all important, that it is imperative that one be in Christ. And he spent chapters 1, 2, and 3 saying that. And then when we come to chapter 5, verse 18, we come to a clue when he says we must be filled with the Spirit. And when one is in Christ and filled with the Spirit, Paul says there are three results. Verse 19, the first result is that there is an inner joy that takes place in one's life when he's in Christ and filled with the Spirit. And that joy results in an expression of singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. A second result is one that takes place toward God. There is an immediate thanksgiving to God in everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Third result of being in Christ and filled with the Spirit is verse 21, where he says, we must be submissive. We must submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the first two are pretty much self-explanatory and easy to understand, but the third one we have a lot of trouble with. And so Paul uses a great big illustration of what it is to be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the illustration he uses is the family. Last time we spent our time talking about the wives. This time we're going to spend our time talking about the husbands. We save the worst to last. And so tonight, given our time, we're going to look at what God says our responsibility is as husbands. Those of us who are husbands need to pay very close attention to what God says our responsibility is. Those of us who are going to be husbands at some time in the future need to pay particular attention to what God says your role is as the husband and leader of your home. And remember, we said verse 21 is the key, and under that umbrella of verse 21 comes all of the passage that follows. Be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word submit in verse 22 that is applied to the wives is not even in the original text. It draws its implication from the previous verse. It simply says, wives, to your husbands. And again, that implication is there down in verse 25. Husbands, to your wives. How? By the way you love her. There is a mutual submission that takes place in that relationship between husband and wife that can be seen by the way the husband loves his wife. Four qualities in this love. Verse 25, the first one. It is a sacrificial love. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The greatest illustration of submission and sacrifice is seen in the death of Jesus Christ. You want to know what sacrifice is and what sacrificial love is all about? You look to the cross at Calvary, and there you see the supreme illustration of what sacrificial love is. You know what there is about this sacrificial love? It loves even when no one deserves it. Do you realize there wasn't one person on the face of planet Earth that deserved what Jesus did at Calvary? Not a person. But you see, the nature of this kind of love, the character of this kind of love, is that it loves in spite of the fact that the one on the receiving end does not deserve it. Husbands, you are to love your wife even when she doesn't deserve it. That's the nature of this love. Husbands, you are commanded by God to love your wife even when she does not deserve it. Even when she doesn't deserve your best, the quality of your love says, I'm going to give you everything. The quality of your love says, you don't deserve a thing that I would do for you, but I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give my life to you. Character of sacrificial love is that it loves regardless of whether they deserve it or not. That's the kind of love we are enjoined to have for our wives. I got to share something kind of humorous with you. I was having dinner today after services with a couple of our couples, and at the dinner table, this story came out, and it's pretty illustrative of what I've just talked about. This is a newlywed couple, and she is a precious person. They both are. She went to work a couple of weeks ago, got out of her car, and accidentally slammed the car door and locked the keys inside. She went on to work, has an 8-to-5 job. She worked all day long. Hadn't realized that the keys were inside. She goes to her car after work and discovers not only that the keys are locked up inside, but that the car is also running. It's a new car. It has very, very few miles on it. It runs so smoothly and quietly, she never noticed that the car was running when she got out of it. It had been running from before 8 o'clock that morning until after 5 o'clock that afternoon when she went back to her car. She goes to call her newlywed husband, expecting the worst. And she says, I've locked my keys in my car. I'll tell you the worst part of this when you get here. He comes there, and he thought, dent, car's dented, wrecked, looked around, but couldn't find anything. And she said, it's running. Then he hears the engine running. And it's been running all day. They had just filled the car up. It had burned over a tank of gas. I mean, over half a tank of gas from early that morning to late that afternoon. And I said, what did you do? She said, he was fantastic. Said, he didn't hold that over me. He didn't get angry about that. She said, I've never seen him mad yet. I thought if anything was going to make him mad, this was going to do it. But he didn't get mad. And I tell you, there's a case of loving somebody when they don't deserve it. I'm kidding. I'm in big trouble now. I was just kidding about that last comment. The other part was true. We are enjoined by God that we must love our wives even when they don't deserve it. Why? Because that is the kind and the nature of love with which God has loved us through Jesus Christ. We did not deserve what he did for us. We did not deserve the life he gave for us. And yet that is the character and nature of love. It gives sacrificially even to those who do not deserve it. The question comes, husbands, are you loving your wives like that? You know, the world has object love. That is, if you look good and if you are attractive and if you live up to my expectations, I love you. That's the nature of the world love. And here comes the divine kind of love that demands husbands to say, I don't have that kind of love for my wife. I love her. I give my life for her in spite of the fact she does not deserve it. You know, there are a lot of men that want to be spiritual leaders, that desire to be elders, deacons, Bible class leaders, and teachers, and hold various kinds of positions of leadership in the Lord's church. I want to tell you something. If you want to know if they got the stuff or not, you go to the house and find out how they love their wives. And if they love their lady to the point they would lay down their lives for them, if they love their lady with the kind of sacrificial love that says, I will sacrifice whatever it takes to meet your need, you're going to find somebody who's got the stuff to have spiritual leadership in their home. Sacrificial love. Second quality, it's a purifying love. Look at verses 26 and 27. To make her holy, speaking of the church, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Listen. Jesus loved you with the kind of love that whenever you were saved, whenever you came to Jesus Christ, He cleansed you of every sin you've ever committed in your life. He loves you with the kind of purifying love that every sin you will commit, as long as you walk in the light as He is in the light, He will cleanse you of that sin forever. You see, the nature of this kind of love is the kind of love that lifts up and purifies and cleanses. Do you love your wife with that kind of love, husbands? The kind of love that purifies her and sanctifies her and set her apart? Do you love her with that kind of love? You see, real, genuine love never, never defiles. It purifies. Never defiles. Ladies, those of you who are going to be married, listen. If a guy ever comes along and says to you, I want to love you now and take away your virtue, I want to tell you something, that's not love. That's lust. Because the nature of genuine love that lasts throughout an eternity, the kind of love that we're to have for one another, is the love that purifies, not defiles. Because this kind of love never, never defiles. If you don't love your wife with that kind of love, and brother, you need to repent tonight. In my life in the business world, I saw some of my working colleagues that said to their wives, I work for this company, and we're having a get-together at certain time, certain place, and I want you to go, and I'm going to participate in this thing, and I expect you to go and do likewise. And some of those guys were doing things and encouraging their wives to be a part of things that their wives should not have been a part of, and the wives knew it, and so did he. But he encouraged her because of business sake. The kind of philosophy that says, we got to do this in order to be business-like. Now, I want to tell you, a guy who takes that approach to defile his wife is not content with defiling himself. He's got to bring his wife in on it likewise. There's something wrong with that kind of love. And I've got to question if a man really loves his wife, that would do anything that would put her in a compromising position that would cause her to do anything that defiled her. Phil Donahue had a couple of ministers several months back on his show. The subject came up of Playboy magazine. He asked one of the ministers, what do you think about Playboy magazine? The guy said, I think it is offensive. I wouldn't have it in my house. I would never let my family members look at it. I think it is detestable. I think it is absolutely contrary to the will of God. And on he went. When he got through, the other guy said, I couldn't disagree more. He says, I've had a subscription to Playboy for a number of years. I read it. I encourage my wife to read it. He says, I think after 15 years of marriage, we need something to stimulate our relationship. My question is, I don't believe that man loves his wife. Because he's not only content with defiling himself, now he's going to defile his wife. And real love purifies. Purifies. Never defiles. Third quality, it's a caring love. A caring love. Look at verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Now notice that last phrase, just as Christ does the church. Now the question comes, does Christ meet the needs of the church? Does he? Turn back with me a couple of three pages to the first chapter of Ephesians, same letter. First chapter, third verse. Here's what Paul says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, listen, with most spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Is that the way it reads? No. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Does he meet the needs of the church? Oh, yes. Does he meet most or does he meet every need? Paul says he meets every need. Turn over to the next book in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. Paul writes, and my God will meet most of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's the way it reads? No. My God will meet every, all needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, does Christ meet the needs of the church? Yes. Does He meet all of them or most of them? He meets all of them. Now, Paul says, gentlemen, you are to love your wives with the same kind of caring love that meets her every need. Every need. You know, Paul obviously was a man who knew the kind of care we spend on our bodies, we men. And so he kind of uses that as a personal application. Our staff has got some runners on it. Bruce Mayhall and Ron Beasley and Danny Mize are runners. I mean, those guys know how to run and do. And a little over 2 years ago, they got me involved in running. And I've been running now most of the time, about 4 or 5 days a week, for about two and a half years almost. And after 2.5 years of that, I still hate every step I run. I have tried to love it like those guys love. I just hate every step I run. And sometimes I run with them, which takes away a little bit of the pain, but most of the time I run by myself and I'm out there sweating and my feet are pounding the pavement and my legs are sore and my back hurts and I'm winded and I'm sucking up asphalt off the ground every time I take a breath, and I'm asking myself the question, why in the world am I doing this? And the reason is because I care for my body. That's the only reason. And every Monday, I go on a diet. And it usually lasts for about 2 days. You know, but for those 2 days, I deny the things I like to eat. And the question is, why in the world would I deny myself those pleasures? And the reason is, I care about my body. And I bathe it, and I shave my face, and I comb hair, and I buy clothes. You know, clothes cost a ton of money. You know, and shoes and all that stuff. Was in the mall yesterday in Quail Springs Mall. Went walking through John A. Brown's in that section that smells so dynamite. Went over there and looked over there at the cologne. You wouldn't believe what cologne costs for men. 2 ounces of Aramis, you know, $16. And guys are lining up and buying that stuff. Why would they pay that money for cologne? I'll tell you why. They care about their bodies. And man, they'll sell you hair pieces to put on your head, or they'll implant hair on your head at great pain and expense. Cosmetic surgery is now gaining in popularity among men almost to the extent that it is among women. And the question is, why in the world do guys do that? I'll tell you why. They care about their bodies. They care. And Paul says, all right, you guys who care about your body, you take that kind of love and that kind of care and spend it on your wife. Gentlemen, isolated, lonely, non-communicative wives. Non-communicative wives are one of the biggest problems in the American society. And the reason is because men are not spending time and care and concern and love to meet their needs. And they're lonely and they're isolated and they're doing all kinds of things in this world trying to find somebody who try to meet that need. Now listen, that's the way it is in the world, but that is not the way it ought to be in the church. But it is. And I'm looking into the faces of some gentlemen, listen, that need to spend some time caring and loving your wives. That's not optional. That's not like whether you want white side walls or plain black walls on your car. That's not optional. That's command of God. You love her and spend the care and concern on her meeting her needs that you do on your own body. Are you doing that? If not, you need to repent tonight. Finally, it's an unbreakable love. Verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The word that is translated leave is a very intense word in the Greek language. It means really leave. Really leave. That whenever a man comes to marriage, he really leaves his mama and his daddy in order to have that relationship with that one who's going to be his mate. Oh, it doesn't mean he doesn't visit them, he doesn't talk to them, but he really leaves them. That emotional tie is broken. and is now joined to his wife. The one that is translated united to his wife is also a very intense Greek word. It means to glue together permanently. It means to stick together permanently. And he says, and the two, after you're joined together permanently, will be one flesh. And the idea is, one cannot be divided. Solomon found that out whenever he showed his wisdom, whenever the two women were arguing over which one was, this baby was mine, and the other one said, no, it's mine. And he said, I tell you what, let's get a sword and cut it in two, and you can have half and you can have half. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, one says. See, the idea is one cannot be divided. And the Bible says that once you are united, stuck together, glued together permanently, you become one. There is no division. Now listen, husbands, we need to be affirming to our wives. Every time you pick up the paper and read about another divorce or hear about another, there ought to be an affirmation from you as the husband to say to your wife, hey, I am not ever going to leave you. You might grow old, but I'm not going to leave you. You might get fat, you might get ugly, but I'm not going to leave you. You might get sick, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to leave you. I love you. And I'm going to stay with you because I have an unbreakable love, an unbreakable bond to you, and I will never, never leave you. Gentlemen, are you affirming that to your wife? Or is she running scared, wondering if her name is going to appear in the paper next? Listen. Affirm it. I will never, never leave. There's a mutual submission in the relationship of marriage. Yes, the man has the responsibility for headship and leading, and the wife has the responsibility of submission. But that ruling is out of the question for God's man. It does not say, wives submit, husbands rule. It says, wives submit, husbands love. Gentlemen, when we follow God's plan for marriage, it'll work. It'll work. It cannot work any other way. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you that Christ loved us, even when we weren't deserving. Father, that reality seems to dawn on us more and more every day. We praise you and thank you for a love that loves us even when we're undeserving. Father, help us to take that character and that nature of love and apply it to our wives. Father, we pray that you'll help us to have the kind of love that purifies and helps our wives become more like Jesus. We pray that the kind of love we have will lift them up and draw them to be more Christ-like, that we'll never, ever put them in a compromising position. Father, we pray that you'll help us to care for our wives, to do all we can to meet their needs, to invest our time and our energy and our love, trying to see where she hurts, what need she has that we can fill, knowing that they'll respond to that kind of love. Father, help us to affirm to our mates, we'll never leave. God, give us the courage in difficult times, in tough times, that commitment to one another will never depart. We praise you, Father, for the home, for the marriage, for the relationship we can share. Help us as wives and husbands to follow your blueprint so that our marriage will bring us incredible joy. Help us to go back to the basics of doing what you've told us to do. And Father, help those of us in this room tonight who need to repent to do so. Give us the strength by your Spirit to be the kind of wives and husbands we ought to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, whatever your response to the invitation of Jesus Christ, whatever your need, whatever your desire, we invite you and we encourage you to come right now while we stand, while we sing. Would you come?